just a little bit of Miles Davis in the background. I want to welcome you to my small talk on Sunday mornings, right? What do we used to hear on Sunday mornings from PJ, from Pastor John? I'm telling you, what you heard from me, and it's about 8:30 in the morning here in Los Angeles. It's the 28th of May, 2017, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America. Welcome to retired pastor PJ's webcast. Here in the Lucy Coleman Studio. I love my wife. You know, small talk on Sunday morning is about, isn't it a wonderful thing when you spend 34 years with a little Filipino woman, and even though she has gone on to be with Jah, she's still blessing her husband. He's living off of what she worked for. Now, wait a minute. And we're talking about through an American system called Social Security. Tell me that God isn't at work in America. Yes, he is. If you're a senior citizen like me, oh, wait a minute. Let me say hello to my friends in Arizona, especially to Morris Brown and his family. I want to say hello to Morris, to his lovely wife. I'm sorry, I've forgotten you and the kids' name, but I'll never forget Morris's name because I'll never forget the first night I met him. He and Michael came over to my house to give a donation for the radio ministry because in some kind of a way, somebody's check bounced to something. And they asked for my home address and I gave it to them. And they drove out to my house, and that's where I first met Morris Brown. And since that time, he took his whole family, brought his whole family to join the church that I pastored, because what Morris knew when he saw me is that I loved him. I looked at him, and the first time I saw him, I loved him. Same thing with Michael. I love all my brothers. I'm telling you, I love my brothers. That is an attribute or a quality that God gave me. Now, I'd like to discuss in this small talk on Sunday morning, what is the quality that God gave you? What is it? What's the thing that he gave you that enables you to connect with other people? All right? In the past, you came to me 20 years ago. You would come and let me give you a sermon, right? Filled with scriptures and go to that scripture, go to this scripture. Look, let's leave the scripture there. If you need the scripture, go to the book. Go ahead. I'm not telling you against a book. I'm asking you, what is that? What is that one good moral quality that God has given you? Now, the guy blowing the horn in the background, that's Miles Davis. You know what that quality is that God gave him. In real time, his daddy was a preacher and didn't like him playing that horn and stuff. Now, wait a minute. Now you got to ask, who is that on that alto sax? Well, you've got to ask the question, who usually played the alto sax with Miles Davis? Of course, it was John Coltrane. And if you know anything about jazz, you would know those things. But the millennials, some of them do, some of them don't. Don't know about these things. But anyhow, let me go back to it. So I'm not going to bring you a bunch of Bible verses. What's the quality? What is it that Morris Brown knew about me and I knew about him that caused this man to join the Christian fellowship that I was pastoring and allowed his family, his wife and his lovely children, to be a part of the congregation without him fearing that some elder like myself or some elder in the church would molest his children? He had to know that if he brought his children around me and anything that I was involved in, that his children would be safe. The highest priority in the church that I pastored was the safety of the children and the family. as I peruse in my mind. So what's your quality? And listen, you can't write me anymore because I haven't received any mail in my P.O. box for so long, I shut it down yesterday. So if you desire to communicate with me, you will have to do it by email. And I think I have it on the website. You may have to get on some, I don't know, AOL. Into the word one. Make sure you don't put two because there's a Looney Tune. There's a Looney Tune out there that calls himself Into the Word Two at AOL.com. I don't know why he did that. And I really dislike it when a person joins himself with me when I didn't ask them to do that. So let me give you another email that you can reach me at. You can reach me at jcole9377 at gmail.com. That's right. jcole9377 at gmail.com. And I should get your, if you want to correspond with me. Because what I'm doing is I'm backing off all of this other stuff. Number one, the mailbox was costing me money. I can't afford that anymore. Broman is going, guess what I did yesterday? You're going to love this. They had a dog auction at Petco in the Ladera Heights shopping center yesterday. And my neighbor, Bruce, told me that yesterday morning. I told him that Broman had gone on to Doggy Land and that I was kind of lonely and I wanted somebody to walk down to the edge of the block with me and back. And he told me about this dog option, so I went yesterday. Well, I walked in there and these people were sitting around. Every dog on the floor was up for option. I mean, it was dog heaven. Immediately, it was a bulldog, a puppy. He was a puppy. He was a male. He took to me and I took to him. I got on the floor with him and he's just nibbling at my finger, not biting me hard, just nibbling with me, trying to get me to play with him. And I pat him on the chest, rubbed him on his back and his tail wagging. One older white gentleman was sitting across and he said, oh, he's taken to you right away. I knew that was my dog. I was going to get the dog, and so I said, okay, what do I do to get it? And then the lady told me, well, we have to come and inspect and see that the dog is going to be on good property. No problem. Come on by. And then she says, and we'd like a fee of $300. Now, I don't have $300. I was going to pick up the dog this week. I don't have $300. I'm cutting down on everything. You understand? And to get that dog and he's a puppy, that meant that that dog would keep me alive for another 15 years. Because he's young and he's a puppy. And you know what? I know she didn't sell it. She gave me her card. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to contact her. And well, I made contacts. I'm tired of asking people for money because I'm on this very limited budget. You see what I mean? And so since I'm on this very limited budget, I can't go over the budget. My daughter told me that. And Broman going to doggy place is a good thing, but the old man now needs a companion. And it's going to cost me $300 to get the dog. It's chipped already. It has its shots. Everything is taken care of. And so I understand the $300 fee. And the owner of the dog knows because she had a female and a male. And I said, I don't want a female, but give me the male because You know what? This is Sunday, right? And I never did use these terms when I was a pastor in church. I'm not going to walk by faith. I'm going to go get that dog, because that dog took to me like white on rice. I am telling you, and I can tell you now as I speak to my listening audience, I am going back to get that dog. And when I get the dog, I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'm going to put it up on this website, and you're going to see me, and guess what I'm going to call him? I'm going to call this dog. Here it comes. It's coming in my head right now. It's materializing. He's going to be called Boo Boo Broman 2. That's going to be his whole name, Boo Boo Broman 2. Or should it be Broman 2 Boo Boo? No, Boo Boo Broman 2. He's kind of like a silver in color with some kind of brown something's going through there. And he has this big square head because he's of a bulldog nature. Now, they had a little white one there and a little black one there, and they kind of like snipped at me. They even had a dog that was deaf. He couldn't hear anything, but every time he saw something move, he'd bark. I said, no, I never get any sleep with him. He'll never be adopted. Then they had a couple of no breeds. You know, I wouldn't be interested talking to the dog, because the dog was staring out into whatever. But the bulldog was my kind of dog. So I'm thinking, as Miles blows the trumpet on this Prestige album record label, I'm going to get that dog. Listen to the music. I really hope that you guys are enjoying your Sunday get together with me. Small talk on a Sunday morning. Have you figured out what your greatest attribute is, and have you are you willing to share it? If your finest attribute is not towards another human being, and I would hope that it would be. Now, some of you, your greatest attribute is towards nature. And my God is a God of nature. I mean, green trees, fresh water, streams. Don't destroy the ozone. All that kind of stuff. That's good. All praises be to the Creator of all human life. That's a good attribute. Fulfill that. Now, you shouldn't have to go to church every week to try to get in touch with that attribute, because whatever that attribute is, you know you have it. What I'm trying to share on my little talk here is that the Creator gives each of us these particular attributes, and He expects us to do something with it, to perfect it. Often I wake up and I say, John, you may be retired, but is your brain retired? I had a young man come up to me last night. He's not here in the house now, so I can say it. He walked up to me last night and he said, John, he said, are you alone in the house? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, I want to say this to you. He says, I've known a little wisdom. That's what he said. He said, I've known a little wisdom. He said, but you have taught me more wisdom in the short time that I've been here. And I said, Bright, why are you talking to me like this? And he said, because you have shown me how to deal with life in the past couple of weeks, with how you touch everything that touches you and it comes back shiny. And he says, that I want from you. Now, you know what, people, let me tell you something. You ask me why I take young men in? You ask me why I care for them? You ask me, that's why I do. And that's exactly what Jehovah wanted us to do when we were in the church. But did we do it? Did you do it? Would you be willing to spend years of your life working in the life of another person to bring that person to a state in his mind where they look at a senior citizen and said, I really appreciate the wisdom. And he says, the wisdom that you've given me is beyond what I've ever thought existed. Just a second. Terrence, do you hear me? Fix my peace flag.
Yes, sir.
Get out of here. No, my peace flag is hanging to the left outside of the studio window there. And it ain't hanging properly. Why do I have that peace flag there? You know what I was thinking? If I could find a flag, I don't want to cross on it. I don't want to cross on the flag. I want something of the African. No, because I don't want to do that, because I would be biased against the Englishman or the Mexican. And so I don't want... Thus far, my peace flag is the beautiful universal symbol that I want to put out. And that universal symbol says, make peace. You see, make peace. Jesus put it this way. I think Jesus said, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Then he said, not as the world giveth to you, I give unto you. See, now God gave me this lovable peace to love all human beings, but especially males. That builders, strong muscle, soldiers, compassionate. When you find a male that can weep and at the same time laugh and enjoy both of the experiences without losing their minds, you found an individual that has perfected the living of their lives to such a degree. Well, what can I say? Things move. Hey, listen, tomorrow they tell me is Memorial Day. What am I going to do? I don't know. Let me ask the boys. Nothing like good jazz on a Sunday morning. You know what I was taught? I was taught that on Sunday morning we wasn't supposed to listen to nothing but church music. I'm telling you, that started even before I became a Christian in 1967. That started way back. My grandma, we would go and spend time at my grandmother's house, and she would tell us, you know, y'all ain't got no business listening to no jazz, and she used to call it all that sinful music. That music's supposed to be sinful. Sinful music. So the bias was laid on the arts that my grandparents are, I don't know where they got it from, but why they would. And you know what? You look at your grandparents and your parents and you believe them because you're small. I was influenced by the culture that I came up in. So I adapted the dispositions, the attitude that my parents and my grandparents did. And I was of the nature as a child to obey my parents. Rebellion, not that there was a fear of me being backhanded or anything like that. There was no fear of that. I followed orders. As a little boy, when I grew up, when my mom died and I was in the Boy Scouts, I followed orders and rules. When my daddy did the best he could to raise the five children, then when I went into the Army, I loved the military because it was rules. Rules. We had to be up at this time, we had to do that. I never got in trouble for not following orders. I'm a rule keeper. I'm a rule keeper. Now, since I'm a rule keeper and I grew up into this man, guess what God saw? God saw that the kind of human being that I was, that I would be the perfect candidate for him to call and have proclaim his word, because I'm going to keep the rules. Now you get it? The attribute of obedience is placed in my mind. That's why when I was teaching in the Bible, I loved it, because these things all went along with this, I had to grow up right kind of a thing. You know what I'm talking about? And I think that each of us have to do that. We have to look back at our lives and we have to see where we were and then look at the things that has shaped us as we have progressed through life to see where we are at the place where we are right now. And then to there's where we get in touch with Jehovah. There's where not Jesus, not this white man with blonde hair, and not this dude that's telling you to go on out and kill other people and take the oil out the land and drop bombs. Not that Jesus. Not that. Nah. I'm not talking about a racist Jesus that would want to kill me because I'm black. Wait a minute, I want to share. Not this Jesus. Not this Jesus that tells you to go out and win those lost sinners and to take them out of the pit of hell and put them in a heavenly place, the church. No, you put them in the church, you will find that you put somebody deep in hell from what some of these people in the church are doing and teaching. I find it very interesting. I find it very interesting that when you look at the auspices of the church, that this form of control, of mental control, is detrimental. And what it almost did to me, but it never quite got me. I never took this attitude that it was us against them. I want you to think of what I'm talking about. If the church has a disposition, why don't we fade down the music and then I'll really give you what I'm trying to share with you. Yeah, let's fade the music down a little bit. I never had in my mind the disposition that being a Christian, that the enemy was everyone that was not a Christian. I never had that in my mind. That cannot stand as an option. It was never us against them in my mind when I was a pastor. Now, if you were sitting under my tutelage and that was in your mind, you were mistaken. I love the people out there. That's why I like the attitude of witnessing to people. I didn't go out and tell people that they were going to hell if they didn't come to our church. I have, as a matter of fact, a video that I found and I put it on one of my phones. And I'd love to show that. One of the boys have a little projector here, and I want to show how to show my videos from my phone on this screen, and I can put it on this portable screen that I have, and I can show you what I did. I went to South Park. That's a park that Barry White used to love to frequent when he was alive in Los Angeles. And I went to that park and I witnessed to the people. I did not mention Jesus Christ's name, I think, to the people one time. I didn't mention come and join my church or anything. One woman asked me, what was I doing out there? And I said, showing the people in the church that I pastor, the community that they live in. And when I saw that video, I think it was filmed back in the 80s, maybe 80. Oh, I don't know. But the 80s. And wow. I am the same man that I have been all those years. Who are you? The one listening to this. Are you a benefit to nature? To people? To your environment? Are you a benefit to your family? Your neighbors? Your friends? Do you help other people? Are you grumpy? Criticizing everyone, cursing all the time, getting loaded, oblivious to what's around you. You don't even give a hoot about what's going on because you don't even think that you're worthy enough to be a part of the cycle itself. Well, my friend, I would put you in a category of being lost. Because that's what lostness sounds like. Religionists have put it in another way. As a matter of fact, I was reading something on Mark Twain yesterday, and I think I copied it in my notes. Let's see. No, I didn't do it. I can't find it, but I think Mark Twain put it this way. And I was going to save it for the webcast. I was supposed to write it down somewhere. And I don't know where I wrote it. I really don't. I thought that I put it in the note. But it was something to the effect. Let me see if I can bring it up in my mind now. Because it was so important. And I did want to share it with you guys. No, I don't want to say it wrong. But it went a little bit like this. Something about the first time... a definition of religion is when a con man introduced himself to a fool, and that's when religion was created. Something like that. You know, Mark Twain puts it a little bit better than that, but I said, you know what, he's absolutely right, but I've never been into religion. Because I was never a con man, nor did I take the brothers and sisters that I was teaching as fools. That's why most of the people that I pastored in the church, even now, almost into this day, have stopped attending. Because I trained them and said, when the time comes when you won't have me to listen to, you're going to have to do this on your own, can you? Because if you can do it on your own, you won't join another church. See what I mean? And I think that's the intention that Jesus had, the real Jesus, Not this other one that put together church as a business venture. So for those of you that are alive and well and still feeling a little excitement in your limbs and bones, find that first particular attribute that makes you exactly who you are, and then live and move in that direction and keep doing what you're doing. That boy made me feel so good when he said, "You have taught me wisdom." And he said, "In great restraint." And he said, "I humbly respect that." It was like he was talking with me. And I tell you, I feel so good on the inside to hear that young 21-year-old say that to me. For you older guys out there, keep on believing in these boys. Some good, you gotta reach way down deep in there. Remember, most of them have been feminized by now. And the feminization process, deep. You know, there's no love like a mama's love, right? See, I wouldn't know because my mama was snatched from me when I was 12. But until she was snatched, there was some love for my mama. My daddy? That's why I know what these boys need so bad, because I needed it. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for continuing to frequent me. I'll try, I promise you, to have more sessions like this from time to time. Let's lift that bass back up. Listen to some of this music. Thank you. In the background playing from the Prestige record label, Profile Collector's Item. I think this is, I don't know who this is playing, but that's where I'm playing from. And I'm glad I bought this album so many years ago. God bless.